everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA Podcast. And welcome to our January 20th, 2022 podcast, our 126th episode, Reality Check, Betting Systems, Making a Living, Well, let's get our digital audience in their seats, and we'll be right back and start today's podcast.
Ah, you're going to speak up.
You know, there's a joke that's been around gambling for a long time, and it goes like this. This is a great tip. If you want to make $1 million in gambling, you got to start with $2 million. And that just tells us that if you want to make a living being a gambler, it's very difficult. Very, very difficult. And so, factually, how many people, according to the IRS, actually make $100,000 a year gambling? Well, right off the bat, when I, you know, came across that question, I thought immediately of two parts of casinos where there's probably people that make a living, and one of them would be in poker. And I'm thinking about the poker all-stars, you know, maybe the top 50. And I also be thinking about sports betting. I think in those two areas, there's probably a substantial number of people that make a living. And then you add in table games and slot machines, and I know in both cases there are people who win big. But that's one, two, three people, you know, for each category. So if we're calling making a living making $100,000 a year, it's under 1,000 people, considering all the casinos in the country, you know, across 40 states, sports betting. How many people make a living, at least $100,000 a year in a casino? Under 1,000. In some years, just over 200. Oh my goodness. It sounds so easy on YouTube. And that leads us to some things we can talk about today. We're going to talk about some of the games in casinos and knowing what you're up against, you know, in terms of probability, in terms of odds. And you can see why it might be that challenging to make a living. Now, there are probably people who make a living talking about poker, talking about sports betting, demonstrating crap strategies. And I think that's still pretty challenging to go over $100,000. But there are people who do that. But we're talking about people who gamble to make a living. Not businesses, but with games associated with casinos, table games, slot machines, sports betting, and poker. All the varieties. Let's think about it. I want to start with Baccarat. You know, it's spelled B-A-C-C-A-R-A-T, but it's pronounced Baccarat. And, you know, a typical decisions per hour. So if you're going to be involved, you're sitting at a Baccarat table and you're involved at every hand for an hour, it's about 70 hands per hour. And somewhere, you know, the house edge is going to be about 1.5%. So I think that's acceptable. It's not great, but it's acceptable. And there's so much big money associated with Baccarat, and in mini Baccarat, it's not as attractive around the country as it is in Las Vegas, but it's an interesting game if you like to play streaks. Blackjack, it's the same number of decisions per hour in a typical blackjack game, 70 per hour, and there it's from under 1% to 2% advantage. It depends on the level of play that you are, you know, the skills as a player in terms of you playing perfect strategy on every hand. So somewhere below 1% to 2% with most people who play blackjack. Now, if you're at a craps table, you don't have to participate every roll. I don't. But if you did, it would probably be about 140 rolls per hour. And if you, you know, made mathematically sound bets, your advantage would probably, disadvantage rather, would be about 1.5%. That's the house advantage. And mini Baccarat is the same. Pai-Gow poker, a little bit higher there. It's a much slower game. There's only about 25 decisions per hour. And That's about 2%. Roulette, not so good. The house advantage is over 5%, and it's usually about 40 decisions per hour. It's a slower game, too, particularly when it's crowded. But the thing to talk about, and you can go over those numbers or stay under those numbers, you know, that's just an average. But the thing to talk about is slot machines. And if you play it at high speed, you'll be over 400 decisions, you know, pulls per hour. And anything you can do to slow yourself down is very helpful. And the house advantage is somewhere between 3 to 11%. And so, unless you're at a video poker machine playing perfect strategy, you need some random luck to do well on slot machines. And there are people who do well on slot machines. They're just lucky. But I think you would consider 11% to be too high. I also wanted to mention Keno. There's Keno slot machines, but there's also Keno areas in a casino. They're disappearing. But you know, that's what the ping pong balls come pouring down the slots. And that house edge is as high as 25%. So that's not good. And thinking about strategies, there are other casino games that you could play. But if I didn't mention them, the house edge is really high. Not that you can't throw a few bucks into it just to see what happens. But, you know, the big wheel, for example. There are games... You know what? It's really a long, long shot to be successful. I was surprised in my research to find that horse racing associated with casinos, because you can bet horse racing in casinos. And right here in the Pittsburgh area, there's a casino with a buggy horse track. So you can watch the casinos. There's also one in Charlestown, West Virginia. It's a Hollywood, beautiful racetrack. It's not buggies there, it's flat track. And the edge there to the casino is somewhere between 17 and 20%. It's just people who are very knowledgeable, you know, they call them handicappers, can do well with horse racing, but it's a very challenging thing to do. And most people, it just comes down to being lucky that day. Poker, of course, is you're not going against a casino when you play at a casino. You're kind of renting space, but you're going against other players. And you can see the advantage players in poker. If they're sitting down with rank amateurs, you can see how they're successful. But even those that win $500,000, you know, one year might struggle the next year. You know, so remember that $100,000 thing we're talking about. It's not that easy to get over $100,000 making a living doing it. And our first suggestion then is, when you're talking about any of the things that we've just spoken of and you're thinking about gambling with them, all of us need to get better at what we do. We just need to get better. And, you know, the first mistake I think that I recognize, and I see it in my own play sometimes, try to catch myself, and that's why I talked about deep play last podcast. The dangers of deep play. And that's betting because you want to make an impression. You want the attention, that kind of thing. Is trying to prove that you're somebody that you're really not. That you're somehow a dice controller. That you're somehow a craps expert and you win every time. And that you can beat roulette on a consistent basis. You know, that you're Mrs. Lucky when you come to slot machines and you always win every time you go to a casino. That's not the way it is it? That's not the way it is. So just acknowledge that if you're into gambling, there will be times, and sometimes, many times, where you will go to a casino and lose. And lose. And how much you lose is up to you. You know, we've talked about loss limits, and most people who have these types of podcasts or have things on YouTube about gambling will tell you to establish a loss limit. Sometimes because of a hunch you have, you go past your loss limit. But if you go to casinos twice a week like I do, you better have a loss limit, pal, or you could be really up the creek. Oh, yeah. And, of course, anyone who gambles was once a newcomer, and newcomers make mistakes, maybe more mistakes than people who play a lot. But there are people who play a lot who don't know a whole lot, you know. So that the thing is, you have to get better at what you do. You have to keep learning about the game that you play. And so just acknowledge that when you play table games that you know little about, you make it that much harder to win. Yeah, you might get, you know, a lightning strike hit every once in a while, but it's much more difficult to win when you know little about the game. And then the other thing that I want to point out is if you're playing at a table game where what you do affects other players at the table, and the first one that comes to mind is blackjack, you know, passing on a card, taking a card, which is really an area where you could be outside basic strategy, you could affect the other people at the table. And although it's not really your fault, they look at it that way. So, you know, you have to learn something about the games that you're attracted to, and you have to keep learning and maybe not play the same way every time, you know, maybe try new strategies, etc. Now, of course, you know, we're talking about counting cards, but again, the number of people who can effectively count cards is quite small, and we're talking about these multi-deck machines that, you know, you can deal from. I don't know what the number would be, and I'm not going to make one up, but it's quite few. But I do know this. People who are legitimate card counters often have losing streaks. There's no guarantees, even with card counting. You know, and the final thing in this segment is, it's not about semantics so much. It's about a sort of a philosophy. But people say they're using a betting system and they're gambling with house money. They're gambling with casino money, meaning that these are profits. You know, to me, there's no such thing as house money or casino money. If you want it, it's your money. And if you keep playing it, you could lose it. And so you can say, well, right, you know, it was house money. So I know somebody who was up $5,000 in a blackjack game. All right. So he was gambling with house money. And because he couldn't quit when he fell behind, he ended up losing it all. This is at one sitting. All right. So that's how I feel when you say, oh, I'm gambling with house money. Well, if you're up $900 and you think, well, this is house money, and you walk out of the casino $300 up, that's not such a good thing. It's not such a good thing, my friends. So I don't like that term. But basically, I'll say this, and I think this is true, whether you're using a betting system or not. When you're winning, increase your bets. And when you're losing, decrease them. So one more time, when you're winning, increase your bets. Yeah, you know, see what happens for a little bit by increasing your bets. Don't get crazy with it. Don't lose all the money that you had won. But when you're losing, instead of increasing your bets and chasing,
it's 11 o'clock.
Probably makes more sense to decrease your bets until, you know, the game changes. The cards get better. The dice are more in your favor. The spinning wheel seems to be working for you suddenly. So that's what I'm talking about. And if you're choosing a table game, there's a variety of limits. And what I'm asking you to think about here is play only at tables that you can afford to play at. You know, if you play at $10 tables and suddenly you're in a casino and the cheapest tables are 25, maybe even 50, I don't know if I want to play there if you're a $10 player. So that's a very personal decision. But yeah, you could win big right away, or you could lose big right away. So, you know, play at a level, regardless of what it is, sports betting, whatever, play at a level that you're comfortable with. It's money you could afford to lose. It's not going to create hardship, trauma, etc. to lose it. You know, how many relationships are stressed because one of the partners puts $2,000 on a football game? Hey, Why not $20? Why not $200? Why $2,000? If it's going to create stress in your relationship, why do it? Yeah, well, I win sometimes. Yeah. But what about the stress when you lose? And then if you're secretly gambling at a level that you don't want anybody to know about, particularly your partner, wow, that's just a danger sign, isn't it? I drew a lot from this segment from a book called Guide to Gambling by John Marshall, M-A-R-C-H-E-L. I really recommend this book. It has things that even the hardened gambler should read about and study. And it's also good for a beginning gambler. And this isn't a book about having fun. This is a book about gambling. So, again, Guide to Gambling. It's a Keep It Simple series, that series of books. John Marshall was an absolute killer blackjack player. Anyway, check this book out, Guide to Gambling, John Marshall. We'll be right back with Crabs Talk.
3, 2, 1.
Hey, welcome to our Craps Talk segment. And today we're going to talk about this new trend. Oh, my goodness, it's sweeping America. It's called regression. And I'm talking about starting off with a large bet, sometimes a ridiculously large bet, and then regressing your bets to a lower level. Now, remember, our philosophy in gambling, it's been around for eons, and it's a good one. You bet more when you're winning and less when you're losing. So regression sort of goes against that unless you do it the way we talk about it. So please consider it. And the low rollers will love this. We don't start out with a ridiculously high amount, like, you know, $640, even $135. Our first bet will be $36, and we'll place it evenly $6 and $8, $18, $6 and $18, $8. And we will regress if we get a hit to $24, 12 on the 6 and 12 on the 8. Remember, that's 12 on the 6 and 12 on the 8. That $21 that we won from an $18 bet on the 6 or the 8, we will also place the 5 and the 9. And there, my friends, you have $44 inside, all because you regressed and then placed. And what do you do from there? Well, here's what you do. You have to read the table. You know, if the table is hot and somebody has a good roll going, you can press one, take one, you know? You hit the 5, take it the first time. Second time you hit the 5, press it. You hit the 6 for 14, hey, press it. Maybe use the $14 to press the 6 and the 8 back to 18. You do that part if you're rolling and winning. But if it's a cold table, maybe take 1-2 hits on that 44 across and just wait for the next shooter. That's what smart play is all about. You know, I've talked about this, and I'm not going to stop talking about it. There's no such thing as casino money. You want it. It's your money. And you're risking it when you play with it. Don't get away from that. Here's what I'm about. I'm about take-home money, take-home money. You know, I've been talking for so long about my friend who had casino money because he was up $5,000. That's how he looked at it. And he gave every cent of it back. You know, that's a sad, sad story. So as a gambler, you want to think about what's called take-home money, right? And that's the creative part of being a craps player. When do you stay? When you go? When do you go off? When do you leave the table? When do you quit when you're ahead? Those are the things that make the game interesting to me and usually gives me what I love, take-home money. And I wanted to give this a name. I'm thinking of my friend, internet friend, Jeremy Ellerick of Color Up. We call it regress, place, press. One more time. Regress, place, press. But remember the nuances we talked about. Press is a judgment part. That's really, you have to read the table in your situation. Yeah, you do press when you're winning, right? When you're winning, you want to gamble more. And when you're losing, you want to gamble less, because you and I, friends, are concerned about not casino money, but take home money. That's the money that counts. And that's why I can play craps twice a week. What a way to live. It works for us. We have a lot of fun with it. And our initial risk is $36. And so we're not kicking ourselves or people around us when we lose. All right. Short break, and we're going to close out today with odds and ends. And I'm bringing my much better half in for this, because he has some tips that should be important for everyone who loves casino resorts. Here comes Janie. I'm going to start this segment with a phone call that we received since our last podcast.
Hey, this is Heidi. I live in Michigan. I just wanted to let you know that I really enjoyed the podcast with Charlie Freyer, who wrote the book Casino Fun 101. I've read the book and found it to be a great guide for someone who hasn't spent much time in casinos, but am looking forward to my next visit to one. Thank you. Bye.
I wanted to get that in before Janie's arrival. If you want to learn more about that book, Casino Fun 101, it was the feature of our 124th podcast. And we really recommend that book, Casino Fun 101, Charlie Freyer. Okay, hang on. Here's my better half, Janie.
Hi, this is Jane. Well, a few words for you about American Casino Guide. It's sad news, really. It's not going to be published this year at all. Now, last year it wasn't published, but they allowed the coupons that were in it from the 2020 version to be used. At most sites allowed that, and they were on the internet, which ones were good. And I know we used some when we went out. So they decided, because of COVID in 2021, we all know about how that all worked. 2020 was their last publication, but we were able to use the coupons, as were everybody else who had the book. Now, if you have a copy, like we do, of the 2020 version, I would keep it. There's a lot of valuable information in there about every state's casinos. If you wanted to call any particular one or had questions about anyone or wanted to visit them, this is a good guide. It gives you every state, the phone numbers of the casinos in there, the capacity in the casinos, the games that they have, because in each state they're not all exactly alike. So we find it to be of great interest. Now, what we did hear, we were fortunate enough to hear the interview that the authors, Steve Burry and Matt Burry, father and son, the author editors of the book, had with Anthony Curtis of the Las Vegas Advisor. And they said it was too much of an uphill battle. They reside in Florida, and so, not being residents of Las Vegas, they don't have the closeness or the ties that Anthony Curtis has, being a full-time and long-time resident of Las Vegas. He even admitted in that interview that he had difficulty. He hasn't been able to get every offer that he had had before repeated. And he said he was surprised, you know, the casino attitudes about that.
Well, one of the reasons they're this way is they're having record profits, and I guess the marketing directors feel we don't need to do it. And that's a shame, because it hurts the patrons who give them their business.
Right. And those coupons are good, especially if you've never been to a particular casino and you just want to go in and see it. You want to go in and say, okay, let's have lunch here. It's buy one, get one. Or let's go to Golden Nugget, whatever. There's free play.
Free drinks.
You know, they're just an incentive for people. We would take a whole day and go to Fremont Street and use those. Just go to all the casinos that had the free play, the free drinks, the buy one, get one lunches. We'd have lunch and dinner there. We'd stay all day, as I said. We got to see a lot of things, a lot of casinos we hadn't seen before. So we just feel really badly about this American Casino Guide not being around, but I guess you can all understand. It's kind of like if you're selling advertising, you're better off if you've lived in the area that you are trying to sell to and you know your customer base. So that's the story on that book.
I know the snowstorms through most of the country probably affected casino patrons who love to go to casinos because the roads are so bad, but you have a solution there for them.
Well, I think mid-January to the end of January in the winter doldrums in the east and northeast coast towns, it's good to and it's fun to sit and plan your summer vacation or your summer trips, your road trips, your weekend trips, which is what we do. We've already planned a trip for October to Las Vegas, and not only that because we have family there and we go several times a year anyhow, but Notre Dame football is going to be playing at Allegiant Stadium this year. They're going to play BYU in a football game in October, so we're going to attend that. As you know, what staunch Notre Dame fans, with my husband and family members being alumni. So that was fun to plan, you know, because we were there. We happened to be there for the first Monday night football game in Allegiant Stadium and stayed at the Luxor. So we know about the roadway to walk up to the stadium from there. And we know how much fun it is. What a party time that is, with all the Raider Oakland fans that come in from California.
Well, now it's going to be fighting Irish fans.
Well, right. That, yeah. And you can't blame anybody for wanting that venue. Notre Dame is going to have their Shamrock Series there, which is a series where they wear a different uniform designed for that game. So does the other team.
And BYU's no pushover. They're a very good football team.
Right. We've also been to their campus. It's in Provo, Utah. And very nice campus. We've stayed right there at the campus and enjoyed it. If you're in the Las Vegas area or driving in, you would want to maybe stop in Provo to look around. It's a beautiful city. Okay, the other things. If you're planning a trip, you might want to, you know, it's a time to experiment maybe. If you've never visited some destinations that you've been looking for, see if they have a casino in the area or resort area, a resort casino. You can go to AAA and get their books. They have books from all the states, and they tell you in those books, which is what we did the first time we ever did a cross-country tour. We went and, you know, I looked up all the states and the casinos they had, and we figured our route out so that we could stay almost every night.
And if you have an older copy of American Casino Guide, they also have maps and the locations of those casinos. But if you don't have an American Casino Guide, then AAA is your next.
AAA's books are really good. Yeah. We're members. I think you have to be members to get them without charge. I don't know if they cost on a regular basis, but you could check with them. Or do their trip with them if you want to. You know, they'll help you plan it out and do a triptych. If you think about driving, and it's a beautiful country here, and it's really, those road trips can be a lot of fun. But one of the good destinations would be Las Vegas. I mean, that's a great destination. You have pools, casinos, the best shows around, the great eateries. I mean, you can't go 15 feet without having a new eatery there. You might want to think of beach destinations like Michigan City, Indiana. There's a Lake Michigan there, beautiful beach, outlet malls, several universities. Notre Dame's not very far from there.
Name the casino.
Oh, Michigan City. It's called
Blue Chip Casino. It's right. A Boyd Casino.
It's a Boyd Casino, and it's beautiful. They have beautiful auditorium there for shows, several restaurants in there that are excellent. They have a boutique that's just wonderful.
The blue chip also, you get rainy weather, has a great indoor pool situation. So that's one I would recommend. You know, put that on your bucket list if you haven't
gone. Right, or if you're going to Chicago for anything. It's just about 45 miles southeast of Chicago. So that's not a bad destination. Atlantic City, you could go there. I mean, there you have the beaches, the boardwalk, the casino, several casinos. So you have more than one to choose from there. There's also Rocky Gap, Maryland, that has a beautiful resort with the Jack Nicklaus Golf Course and a beautiful lake. So there's all kind of activities, outdoor activities there.
And if anybody out there is a picker, as my wife Janie is, she can tell you the true hot spot to go to if you're a casino lover and you love antiques.
I would go to Southern Indiana. There's three casinos there. There's the Hollywood Casino in Lawrenceburg. There's Rising Sun Casino. No, it's called the Rising Star Casino in Rising Sun, Indiana. And then there's Belterra in Florence, Indiana. And there's three towns with each one of those casinos that just have great shops to go through. And I can spend a week just doing that. So if you like to do that, and who doesn't like to look once in a while, not only are there the antique shops, but there's those several boutiques where you find something in there that you can't find anywhere else.
And 5 miles from the Belterra, which is a beautiful casino, it's almost like looks as attractive as many of the strip casinos.
Easily.
Is the NASCAR Kentucky right. Speedway, 5 miles from Belterra. And if you're a NASCAR person, the drivers stay at the Belterra.
Right. They stay there. We've been treated to drinks in the lobby bar from some of the drivers because we've been there when they've had races and trials. So if you like to follow them, you might want to look and see what the schedule is and book something at the Belterra.
Now, you have a warning about Vegas in terms of people who love swimming pools, and you love swimming pools as much
as
anybody.
Right. Not every casino has a swimming pool. So if you want to stay in a casino somewhere, make sure you go on their website, if they have one, and most of them do now, to see what the amenities are. Do they have a pool? And find out if it's open. You might want to also find out, as I said, the other amenities, like do they have a racetrack there? A lot of the casinos are attached to horse racing, and that's enjoyable too. If you go to Las Vegas, and you should definitely check on the pools at the hotel that you're going to stay at, because they vary. They're all over the place. If you want a large pool, if you spend a lot of your day at the pool, you don't want to pay for chairs around the pool, you need to ask that. Now, some of that might not all be written on the website, but you need to ask someone, do I have to pay for a beach chair? How many pools do you have? For instance, if you love pools, the Luxor has a great facility. There's 5 pools there, and several of them are very large. They have free chairs. It's very spacious. They have a snack bar there. It's just very, a very great complex compared to Harrah's. If you like a pool, you don't want to go there. Hate to say it, but their pool is surrounded by tall buildings. You cannot, well, actually, the whole casino surrounds the pool. You don't have any view. It's very tiny. It's tiny. There's 2 pools, but one's just a wading pool that goes to about mid-thigh. And mostly kids are in that pool. And the other pool, there's not many chairs around it. So you could be out of that pool in no time or not even get into that pool. I'd also like to mention that Anthony Curtis does still have his Las Vegas Advisor Rewards book out. And he has even some new... He was able to get new clients, and they, like Circa, the hotel on Fremont Street, and they have a coupon for 2 free champagnes in their on top of the roof bar that's supposed to be spectacular. We have not visited Circa yet, but we will this year.
And I know from family that bar champagne is $20 a glass, so that's a $40 coupon. free. Two drinks.
So that almost pays for the book.
Yes.
And so his book is even more important this year than before because he has retained a lot of the coupons. One of the biggest areas that lost out are the buffets, but that's because they're not having buffets very, very many places anymore because of COVID and the fallout from all of that. They're not having them, so they don't have coupons for them.
And instead of several dozen buffets, there's now a dozen, maybe a dozen.
Oh, well, there was a buffet in every hotel. I mean, everybody would go to a hotel and say, okay, let's get their buffet without even seeing it. Okay, and the other tip I might have here is that if you need or want some advantages if you're in Las Vegas or you stay at M Life hotels anywhere in casinos, you might want to get their credit card because you get free parking in Las Vegas at any of the M Life garages, which we've used. And if you don't have it, you're going to pay $20 a night at some of those hotels.
$20 a night or more, possibly.
Or more, yeah. So, and there's other benefits to having it. So I just wanted to mention that. So have fun planning.
Okay, thanks, Janie. And for everybody, it's time to close. So remember, Casinos USA is still a place where
every day is Saturday.
Thanks for listening.